Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Welcome, welcome, my friends. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ and my sweet friend, Ann Albers. Hey, Ann.
Hi, it's good to see you. I'm trying to get at the right angle here. There we go.
Great to see you too. Hang tight because I'm just going to take one of these off because it looks like we're pixeling a little bit. So I want to.
Okay.
I'm going to, if you guys are joining us and you lose connection, go to my fan page, Sunny Dawn Johnston fan page on Facebook, because I'm going to remove one just because we're getting a little pixeling here.
Okay, and I'm scooting around here. Hold on. Oh, well, that's interesting. My lamp is threatening to have its cover fall off. That's okay. Just adjust. Okay, there we go.
Okay, so that might
be silly when you're filming at home.
Of course, I know. It's perfect. So here we are, guys. We are live. We're just having a couple little technical difficulties, but no big deal, you know. That's how it works sometimes. So let's start, guys. So welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. This is an opportunity for me to connect you with some amazing, beautiful souls that I know and love. One of the my favorite things to do is get to know people and get to know who they really are, not just who they say they are and how they show up in the world, but really kind of dig in. So today, for those of you that live out of Arizona, you may not know Ann as well as those that live in Arizona, but if you live in Arizona, you've probably heard the name Ann Albers before because she's been around for, I mean, she's not old, but she's been around a long time. So, and a wonderful, amazing angel communicator and been a friend of mine for I was trying to think of how many years. I think we met in 2003. Does that sound right to you?
I think so. Well, we knew each other prior to Teresa's interfaith movement, you know, but I think that's where we physically met.
I was trying to go back and gosh, you know, as you get older, you're like, there's a lot to go back to.
Yeah, you know, you just get above the timeline and say what's now.
That's right, exactly, because we just like to stay present. So so we thought we were emailing a little bit back and forth yesterday and we just thought we would jump on and share a little bit. So I'm going to share just a little bit about what I know about Ann, and then we're just going to jump in and get started. But so I met Ann, I think in 2003, and about, I don't know, a year, maybe 2 years later, she emailed me one day and said, hey, do you have a chance to chat for a minute? And I said, sure. And I didn't know her very well then. And she, and so we talked and she said, I've been doing this thing called World Angel Day for several years, and it's time for me to let it go. And the angels told me that you're the one that's supposed to take it. And that, and then this was the best part. And I said, okay, because I mean, what are you going to say to the angels? You've got to say, okay, that's the best answer ever, right? It's the best answer to say, okay, to the angels. Yeah. They usually know way more than we do. And so I said, okay. And it wasn't just that. I got to now be involved in this World Angel Day, but I got the detail by detail, step by step, list by list of like when to get your makeup, when to get your clothes on, where to make sure that you didn't put your, that you put your good clothes in your car. I loved it. Oh my God, a girl after my own heart. And then we discovered that we're, 3 days apart of our birthdays?
No, really. I mean, it fits. And I just didn't want to have to make you reinvent the wheel.
I still, I've added a bunch to it, but I still to this day use that same kind of thing because, you know, if you don't, when you're doing an event, if you don't write all that down, you don't
remember moving parts. Yeah.
Yes. So that was great. So that's a little bit about how we got connected, my friends. And Ann is just an amazing, amazing soul. She's done so much fantastic work in this world and not only connecting with angels, but now doing a lot of just this really unconditional love gazing that you've stepped into in the last few years, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was a surprise to me. I stood in front of a guy from Croatia named Bratso who stands in presence. And the week after that, the angels in the middle of a reading said, you're going to do this for your client now. And I said, I'm going to what? And, you know, it was basically just surrender and let God work through you. And people started having some healing and peace. And so here we are. You know, like you said, what are you going to say? No.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't work out so well. You just can't.
No, they're pushing you towards the life you want all the time.
Yes. Yes.
And you didn't even know you wanted it.
Yes. And I think sometimes that's hard to remember, isn't it? Because it's like, no, I'm going this way. And it looks like they're guiding you in a completely other way. And you don't know that, hey, this is going to be a really nice direction versus this direction is going to be, you know, cattywampus all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, your little kid saying, I want a cookie. And mom's like, but we got the whole meal and dessert too, you know, and you're like, I want a cookie, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But so, you know, we were talking last week and we were just like, oh my goodness, there's so much going on in the world right now. And,
yeah.
and there's so much upheaval and fear and worry and anger and sadness. And, you know, I think a lot of times what I've noticed anyway, is that a lot of people that have been in my community start pulling away. They start feeling like my angels aren't there anymore, or yeah. I'm not feeling that connection any longer. And I've noticed that a lot with many of my clients that are just kind of questioning. Have you experienced that or seen that as well?
Not as much people questioning, but more people just like almost like craving a deeper connection. That's just, I mean, we all get different things in our inbox, but I have seen people really wanting that connection.
Yeah.
Very
like a deeper level.
Like a lifeline, you know, just I need them now more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so for me, and I agree. I think I've gotten a lot of people that way too, but I think a lot of them are feeling like, well, if this is all happening, then where are, you know, my angels, yeah. where are my guides? Where is spirit, source, divine, God, if you understand what is happening? And I think sometimes it's hard to see above, see the big
yeah.
things.
Absolutely. You know, when I say where is the divine, the angels say, would you please go look in the mirror in your own eyes? Home, you know, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, when they say, where's the angel? The angels say, well, we're here, but you know, it's kind of like, how do you land an airplane in a hurricane? You know, you have to calm yourself a little bit to actually receive those more refined vibrations of love. Now they're still there for you, hugging you and loving you and trying to guide you, you know, when you're worked up. But you won't necessarily perceive them as easily during those times. And that's why, you know, you've probably seen this. I put it out, you put it out. Sit, breathe, receive. That's their favorite little mantra through me is just, would you please sit, put some peaceful music on, spend 5 minutes breathing, calm yourself, and then you'll feel us and you'll hear us much better. You know, the easiest thing in the world, but it's hard to do when the, you know, the stress hormones are driving your body to go, you know.
Well, and a lot of times too, the messages are so subtle that when we're in that amped up energy, we're looking for something that meets that amped up energy. And the angels are like, hey, calm down.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, we want to help you, but chill.
Uh-huh. Take a breath.
Well, yeah. You know, the amped up energy is a survival based physiological response, you know, to our thoughts. And the angelic energy is a love based spiritual energy that wants to say, calm your body now. You know, you're not about to die. Most of the time when people are about to die, they actually get calm.
Right.
Weirdly.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get calm. So, yeah. But when our fight flight is going off, something in us thinks it's going to die, whether it's our ego, whether it's our opinions or beliefs, or, you know, we're afraid we're going to lose our house or whatever. So we get into this physiological fight flight response. And you know, science that I like Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, for example, science is starting to prove that when you're in that state, and heart math also, you don't have heart coherence.
Yeah.
You don't have brain coherence. What that means is your heart and brain are not even working together. Good luck getting the pineal gland to open up, which is the third eye. So, you know, you're biologically in a state where it's just plain hard to hear. Whereas if you just sit and breathe, you know, or another trick is just sit there for a minute, shut your eyes, and just for a moment, just focus on anyone you love or anything you love. You know, I'll tell people, imagine your favorite piece of dark chocolate, you know, because that's like neutral. or, you know, or something, your dog, your baby, whatever it is, just think of something you love and just spend a few minutes breathing while you're thinking of that person or that thing you love. And all of a sudden you've shifted your biology. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, instant meditation in a way. It's like a quick hack, you know, to get yourself in sync.
Yeah.
Heart math teaches it way more deeply, but you do that and you're going to start receiving more guided information more quickly then.
And do you think too that a lot of times for people when they get into that, when our heart and our head are in different directions, we're just doing this and this doesn't feel good. So this is what kind of amps us up even more because we know we're out of alignment
with
of who we are.
Absolutely. You're 100% right on that. Yeah, it is. And like you said, people know it and it's just that struggle of how do I get back in alignment? And you know, my go-to is actually biological. It's like, think of something you love so you calm the heart rate, which will then send a signal up the vagus nerve, which runs along the back of your neck, you know, and through your whole body to every chakra in your body, every major nerve bundle physiologically. And it's the rest digest nerve, you know? So your heart's telling your body, I'm calm. It's telling your brain, calm down. And, you know, there's a signal going to your entire physical vehicle that says peace, mm-hmm. peace. And then you can sit and say, okay, angels, what next? You know, I always tell people, what next? Not don't give me the 5-year plan. You know, you and I do 5-year, you know, we do binders and stuff, but the angels are like, this is what you need now.
Yeah. Well, because now is the moment we have, right? And so we get so far ahead of ourselves if we're trying to figure out how we're going to, you know, like right now, I think I've had a lot of people say, well, Sunny, when are you going to start traveling again? I'm dealing with today. Today, I'm not. You know, like today is the day we have. And I think sometimes we're so used to planning and organizing and putting it out there that we forget that we have to be in present moment. And the angels help us stay in that place so well.
Yeah, boy, do they ever. Because, you know, I once, you know, being the ex-engineering planner, I used to say, I said, why can't you give me my 5-year plan? And they said, because 7 billion people are making different choices in every moment. And one minute the world looks like this and the next second it looks like that. And we have to give you up to the minute guidance to dance with that. Like the central nervous system, you know, gives the cells up to the minute information because the body's changing at all times.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And we wouldn't really want 5 years down the road because what you think 5 years down the road, what you think it's going to look like and then what it's going to look like when you get there based on if you got that information today.
If I were in charge of my life, it would be so limited and boring. I'm so glad I'm not, you know, and when I say that, I mean my ego, you know, my soul's in charge, you know, you put out an intention, the whole universe starts working on it. It just may not look the way we think it was going to.
Yeah. I connect with spirit first thing in the morning because I want spirit running the show, not Sunny's head. Sunny's head is the best thing to be running the show. But let me let that guidance come through and then we can work together to align with the highest good for ourselves and all.
Oh, God, I agree with you. Someday my head feels like a bad ping pong match, you know.
Yes. Yeah, well, there is that Aries. Anne and I are both Aries. And so we both kind of have that heady. Yeah. And somebody just said, she was an engineer. Yes. You were a great engineer. Somebody says, Kathy says you were.
Oh my God. I worked with Kathy years ago. She kept us straight in our department.
So, in these times, and I know these times have changed, like these times 2 weeks ago was pandemic. These times right now is, you know, everything kind of breaking open so that we can really heal from the root. Right. So when you are sitting in contemplation and in your space, what are you receiving as guidance, whether it's for yourself specifically or whether it's for our collective? What are you receiving from the angels?
Well, for myself personally, you know, my particular role in this world is obviously like you to help people personally when I wanted to teach, but also to do what I call the behind the scenes work, which I know you do, which is the meditations and the emanations of peace that go out into the world, you know, to work in the collective, you know, the Carl Jung called it this collective unconscious. When you get in meditation and you're emanating a vibration of peace, it affects the whole, it lifts everybody up. So that's part of my personal contribution. But for the collective, the angels are saying, please don't let anyone else tell you how you should be rebirthing yourself in this world. Please bring that peace to yourself, go within and say, what's my role? You know, because it's different for everybody. And I think there's a lot of shoulds flying right now. And, you know,
there are
so many people that have really passionate, good ideas, but that doesn't mean that's the calling everybody's getting. Just, you know, the angel's favorite analogy is the heart cell would never say to the bone, you ought to firm up, and the bone cell would never say to the heart, soften up. You know, it takes the whole body to be whole.
Yes.
And right now, you know, there's a cancer in the body of humanity called racism. And every single person has to go into their heart and say, what feels like my contribution? Is it simply working to raise my kids to be, you know, all inclusive? Yeah. Is it to go out and protest? Is it to change law? Is it to donate? Is it to take care of animals because, you know, they soothe and calm hearts? You know, you just never know. But I'm getting that everybody needs to go inside of themselves because they're getting the signal as to what role they play. Mm-hmm. And to trust that, because the divine is 7 billion, you know, in 7 billion people trying to create greater harmony and order for the whole planet.
Yeah.
And that will, you know, a systemic problem affects everything and everyone, and everything and everyone is needed in their own way to correct a systemic problem.
And I think I want you guys to hear this because I've been on all week last week and I've been talking about, and Ann and I didn't talk about this. So I didn't know what
going on. Just a little bit more. Do you want to chat? Yeah.
Right. And what has been being shared with me and what I've been sharing with all of you is we have to come back to our intuition and our own guidance system and not have any finger points into what you're doing that's right or should be or shouldn't be or what have you, because, you know, a lot of times some people I noticed were minimizing if you were praying, let's say, if you weren't taking action. Prayer is action. Meditation is action. Holding the space is action. And action shows up different for different people at different times, in different ways, in different aspects of their life, in different seasons of their life. And there isn't only one way. The angels have never once said there's only one way to do anything in my experience ever. Never happened outside of be love. But there's not one way to do that.
Agreed. Absolutely. You know, I think what COVID did, you know, if you want a gift, there are many gifts, but it, you know, the whole in it together. Mm-hmm. We're an organism. The human race is an organism, whether people want to believe it or not. We're an organism. We all affect each other. We affect our, you know, the planet we live on. Mm-hmm. And just like any organism, be it a body, a forest, an ecosystem, there are unique roles for every one of us to play. That doesn't diminish us. It tells us that each of us has a very sacred purpose in each moment, whatever that might be. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I would really like to see more dialogue, less shaming.
Me too.
You know, because this, the vibration, when we talk about, I mean, first of all, racism has no place on our planet. I agree, you agree, everybody, I think, hopefully agrees with that by now. But the vibration that causes it really starts from the illusions of separation. You know, the illusion that we're separate from one another, that we're separate from our source, you know. And to presume that we know how anyone should look, think, or behave really is a vibration that ultimately, you know, it's like poison in the water that contributes ultimately towards racism. Now, I believe racism deserves attention now. It matters. It should be handled. But I believe that some people are being called to operate, you know, at different points in that systemic problem, at different, you know, like if you have a canal dripping poison water into the ocean, you know, there's points along it that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not just it's not a simple answer and it's not one answer. That's why we need all of us. That's why the collective matters so much. You know, I was this weekend, I went up to Flagstaff for a few days and, you know, just sat in the pines and the alligator trees and was really kind of, asking for guidance and support from the angels in, specifically for myself in one of the things that has triggered me is the amount of blame and shaming that have gone on in whichever direction, just pointing fingers. Yeah. I think that pushes my buttons because it was such an experience I had for so much of my life being a medium and a psychic and all these things. And, you know, that kind of, shaming and blaming and you don't fit in kind of thing. And so I was asking spirit, you know, when I saw some people that had said something to the effect of, you know, like we want to support, you know, Black Lives Matter, but really all lives matter. And a lot
I got
of people,
crucified.
Did you? Yeah. I saw a lot of people.
I didn't even understand at the time why it was such a hot button. And once I took the time to understand, I said, okay, well, I can support that. I apologize. I didn't mean to offend anybody.
Right.
But like you said, you know, people could be a little nicer in explaining it. Some were very kind and, you know, explained it to me, and others crucified me and assumed the worst, and, you know, it stings.
Right. Well, that's what I saw. That's what I had seen. It was disheartening to me, because the people that were saying it weren't disagreeing with the fact that, right, that racism is wrong and that we need to change it. They were saying that everyone matters. And this was what was interesting that the angels told me. And this was really helpful to me, is because I agree that all lives matter. And I agree that Black lives are part of all lives matter. So it all matters. But when you say all lives matter for people of color, it feels like you're negating that. And this was the analogy that they gave me that I loved.
Yeah, I heard it too.
They said, if you had a child that was sick,
right,
and they needed prayers, you would put out there, hey, please pray for my son because he's having, you know, some kind of illness. And it doesn't take away from the fact that there's so many other people that have an illness too. It's just saying right now in this moment,
right,
this needs attention.
Yeah. And I, the dialogue when people, for example, when I put it out there, and then people, the nice, you know, the ones that did it nicely, I was grateful. I want to understand people's perspectives.
Yes.
And this is where I think we all need to grow, is that let's not assume the worst about one another. Let's really assume that we do care. We want to hear.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, the news.
Yes.
Come together in understanding.
Yes. Yeah. Cause I don't think I'm not saying that there aren't people that are racist, cause there are, but I think that most people that are having any kind of dialogue, they're having a dialogue for a reason, because they care. And they may not be using the exact words that other people are using or wanting. And I think that a lot of times when we can just see it from a little bit different perspective, then it can really make sense to us to say, oh, okay, I get it. Yes, if I needed prayers, I would ask for prayers. And that doesn't mean nobody else's prayers matter or count. It just means, hello, right now, could you send a little extra my way?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, and that's why the minute somebody explained it to me kindly, I immediately removed everything with the offensive phrase on it, completely put out an apology, because, you know, of course, I understand now. But it's just a good example of how in our world, misunderstandings come from assuming and projecting that you know what another person meant.
Yes.
And, you know, just like I can't tell you what it's like, except through my empathy and through my, you know, clients, to have lived with racial prejudice the way, you know, many of my clients have. So I can't tell you that. I want to hear it from them, because they'll tell me what they've been through. And, you know, and we can't assume things about people anymore. And I think that's part of, you know, the maturation that's occurring on our planet. We're all trying to mature into a place where we actually dialogue with one another rather than assume, project, get mad, you know, and have these very superficial interactions. You know, we want to dig deeper.
And be willing to realize that maybe what you've always known isn't all there is, you know, like,
my God, yes,
we can all grow and expand and learn. It just
7 billion people growing up in 7 billion different circumstances. You know, everybody's got a unique perspective, unique experience, unique talents, gifts, you know? So I think personally, you know, what that's why I don't have any need to hang on to something if people tell me that it's taken otherwise, because, you know, how on earth should, I don't feel I have a right to force my will and my view on anyone. Mm-hmm. And once again, I think those are the roots of racism, when people think they can force their views on others. And I think, you know, just dialogue is going to be half the battle right here. Even when they're dialoguing about solutions to brutality, solutions to, you know, policies, et cetera, it's dialogue.
Yes. Yes. Well, because the pointing fingers and the pushing against and the blaming and shaming, that's just creating more division, which is the issue here. I mean, it's creating separation. And, you know, I think that when we came into these bodies, based on our life experience, we started to create separation just from that point and forgot who we are. And now we're on this journey of remembrance, right? And that division gets, I think that's why I pushed my button, it activates that feeling of division. I don't like that feeling. I feel like we're one and we're meant to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from the moment I was a little child, I remember just cringing when I would hear people say things that, you know, put down a person for any reason, really. I mean, it felt bad in my little body, you know, as a child.
Yeah.
And it still feels bad. And, you know, I did the same thing you did the first weekend of all this, is I cried for 3 days straight, you know, at the horrors going on in the world, like all over the place, the violence, the hatred, you know, all of that. And then I thought, okay, Ann, yes, it's sad. What are you going to do? Same as you. Mm-hmm. You know, angels, where do I fit in all this?
Right. And how can I serve? You know, how can I serve my community and be the ripple that I want to be, you know, be the change that matters or that I can do, because I'm not like, you know, my son, I've got a 22-year-old son that's been out there protesting every single night.
Yeah.
That's the way he feels like he can be the change. And not my way, but it's his way. And that's perfect for him. And I think if we can, you know, have the idea that we're really all, not all, but the majority of us are wanting the same thing.
Yeah.
And we're all going to do it different ways. And that's, we're meant to, we're supposed to be unique.
Yes. Yes. You know, the angels say, if you guys were all honest with yourselves, your souls want to put down all the anger and hug each other. Mm-hmm. You know, our souls crave love. Every single person, the people yelling crave love, the people that are angry crave love. You know, it's, we all crave love. And that's, I think, the one thing we can all agree on now. That's not always a warm fuzzy. You know, if you look at nature, you know, if one animal crosses on the other animal's territory, there's a little snap, only enough, this one goes away. there's boundaries in nature. There's differences, but there's a respect for the fact that this is all one system operating together. And I think that, you know, like you said, if we would recognize that our differences make a difference,
yes,
you know, and are part of the greater solution, then I think that we'd work vibrationally to end this problem a lot sooner.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's my hope. That's my vision, is that we don't have to stay here for, you know, another 10 decades, you know, that we can actually make this change and start to shift and open that dialogue, and also be willing to say, I didn't know, or I'm sorry, or let me express how I feel or my perspective. Because there is a lot, it's activated a lot of judgment, and hopefully in a way that's breaking it open to see clearly what's underneath.
Absolutely. And you know, for example, when I used that phrase and I had all good intentions, completely no clue how it was being taken. Mm-hmm. After I put out my apology, you know, I had half the people, thank you, and the other half, why'd you do that? And it's like, because personally, for me, I'm not telling you what you should do. Mm-hmm. Being, you know, the old phrase, being loving is far more important than hanging on to some egotistical need to cling to something you once thought was right. If you now understand that, given the current conditions, it is not the highest, most loving thing to say right now.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, I you know, part of my example and your example is to be the love.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that people, I know my community has been, I wonder maybe yours has as well, has been struggling with, okay, how do I do that? What do I do to be the love? And, you know, and I think that there's been some, you know, some people have said there's been some minimizing or of the spiritual, you know, they've called it spiritual bypassing or something like that. And again, I think it's the bigger perspective, and maybe you can give me your perspective, but is that everyone, again, just repeating here, everyone's ability to show up in the way that is, that they can, is important. And it is
like somebody was Martin Luther King. Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm so passionate about what you were just
saying. I know. We're both Aries, so we're both like, okay, go.
No. Oh, you know, someone had to be Martin Luther King's mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody had to inspire him, you know, and so to say that there's only one right way to do this is really to forget that we all hold each other up in different ways. You know, my trash man, who takes out my trash, is as equally important to me as my greatest spiritual mentor. And the angels once told me that, because they said, let your trash pile up for a week and see if you can concentrate on anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so everybody has a part. And if you're listening to the divine, if you're listening to your angels, then you're going to be playing a role that God knows better than we know is important in the greater scheme of the whole. And I would rather listen to the creator of the universe than my ego, mm-hmm. or someone else's ego. You know, my relationship with God will always remain far more important than the shoulds and the shouldn'ts and everything else. I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, we've done a lot of training to be able to do that. And it's still not easy all the time.
No, because it should tug at you.
Yes. And it does. So for those of you that are feeling that struggle, that are feeling that pull and going, oh, well, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. Take should out of it, first of all, because should is just guilt automatically implying guilt. Yeah. But instead, just turn to your heart. And what does your heart say for you? What do your angels guide you to do, and follow that and believe that and know that?
Well, yeah, I'll give you an example. And it's one of my latest favorites is, and forgive me, I've had so many examples, I don't remember who said what, but it was a beautiful black football player tweeted that he went to Home Depot or one of the home stores, and this little old white lady came up to him in her mask and said, "You matter." Mm. And he said he just got touched to the core. There are good people out there, tweeted it. At the time I saw it, it had 800,000 followers and likes. You know, it's these simple acts of kindness can ripple out into the world just as equally as the massive protests. You just never know whose life you're going to touch.
Right.
And you don't know the ripple effect. So to judge your actions as larger or smaller than another's, it's really to forget, you know, in it together. Don't forget that. COVID really, you know, tried to teach us that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And not create that separation again by saying, okay, I'm not doing it the same way as everybody else and making more division, instead saying I'm doing my part and coming together.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've heard this. There have been people that I don't even know are in my mailing list. And I later find out that they're sharing some of the things I taught with thousands of members of their community that may not be the spiritual community. It may be an activist community or a woman's community or a shelter community, you know, and you find that, and I find that. And so, you know, I would never think to tell someone I know what their path is unless they ask me to tune into the angels for them, obviously.
Right.
But not
right.
with my ego.
Yeah.
Not with my ego. And, you know, and people say, well, how do I get in touch? If you don't do anything else, just say, creator of universes, please just give me an inspiration to do what I need to be doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you, there's a question here. Do you want to answer a question? I got a question.
Sure.
Let's see. It says, I've heard other light workers say these events are leading us all to start living through our hearts. Where do you think all the upheaval recently is leading us?
Well, I think it is, because what's been in human hearts for a long, long time is a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been a lot of, I mean, I just want to cry as I tune into this. I've got a lot of black clients that are the most dignified, amazing, non-victimized human beings I've ever met, but they have been through hell. You know, if you look at some of the things, and it rips us up to look at that. And then that pain has been in human hearts unexpressed for centuries. There's been pain and helplessness in people's hearts who want to help but don't know what to do. And so all of a sudden, you know, it's like the wound is being lanced. You know, something that's been festering for a long, long time in this human race is being lanced. And we're seeing the ugliness of it now. We're seeing the pain, the suffering, the rage, the anger. But I believe what's pushing that stuff up is love, is God, is saying it's time to grow. It's time to get this up and out and heal it, because you can't heal something if you can't see it. You know, if you have cancer and you don't know how you have it, yeah. You know, what are you going to do? You're not going to heal it. It has to be revealed first. So it's not pretty, but it is a movement towards a much kinder and more equitable way of living. I hope that nobody will ever be able to look at a black person after this year and think anything other than there is my fellow human being.
Right.
Or anyone, you know, I pray. I mean, I don't think it's going to be 100%, but I think we're going to be a lot farther along.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people I think most people don't like to look at the ugliness. They don't like right. to see the pain. It's uncomfortable, but discomfort itself is growth.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's, you know, it's our number one motivation to grow. Now, in the ideal nirvana world, because we want to be better people. But most people, like you said, they get in a nice status quo. Everything's hunky-dory and fine. And, you know, so it's the nature of this planet that most of the time where we do grow is when, you know, we get uncomfortable. Why did you and I get on a spiritual path, right? Because we were not happy with life as it was.
Yes. And I think that's the reminder for so many people that are struggling, that are going, but why is this happening? Well, if you look at, you just look back at your lives, my friends, and go, okay, where has been my greatest growth? I bet it was through disease, divorce, loss of some sort, some kind of separation, some kind of, like, that's what gets us to go, oh, wait, I got some work to do. I've got to clean some stuff up. And it also leads us to one of the most important things, which is asking for help.
Yes, humility.
Asking for help, and asking for help from the angels, your guides, your friends, but asking and opening yourself up to receive it.
Yeah, and opening the mind to, you know, maybe there are other perspectives that are a little more enlightened than my own. You know, maybe I don't know everything, you know, like we all did when we were younger.
Yes, possibility.
Yeah, I knew everything when I was younger.
Yes. Do you have a special, I think you shared kind of your a basic prayer for yourself or a general one, but do you have one, like if somebody is struggling right now and saying, okay, I'm not sure what to do, and I don't even know if I have angels or not, I'm just learning about this, what would you say for them?
Well, this has worked a lot. You know, it's simple. Okay, the sit, breathe, receive. Number one, spend just a few minutes a day. I mean, everybody can make 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes. Set the timer. You know, put on a song. Put on your favorite song when you first wake up. Sit, breathe, receive. Just get in that space where you're breathing and you're letting your angels tune you, because they get in your energy field and they tune you. And then before you move out of bed, when the snooze alarm is, you know, you have 10 minutes between the alarm and the snooze alarm, you can breathe for a few. And then ask your angels for help with what you need help with during the day, and then let it go. Don't worry if you heard them or not heard them, and just see what shows up. I've had a lot of people do that, and they're saying, gosh, you know, out of the blue.
Uh-huh.
Out of the blue. And I'm like, yeah, out of the blue, because you asked. You need to use your free will to ask. So sit, breathe, receive for just a few minutes and ask. Those two things. And whether or not you ever hear an angel in your head, if you ask for help, you'll start getting help because you're giving permission.
Yeah. Yeah, you're opening the door. My steps, I have four because I like to make things more complicated, apparently. but mine are very, very similar. Ask, allow, believe, receive.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're saying the exact same thing, just in a little bit different way. And it's getting into that space of so many people as human beings. We have learned oftentimes that we have to do something in order to earn the receiving of something. And we forget that just being here, spirit in a body, allows us to receive. And so you have the right to ask.
And then when you get the urge to do something, when it feels inspiring or passionate, or you know, you're doing cooking your dinner and you think, I should call my friend, you know, or whatever it is, you listen to that urge and you follow through, because, you know, your angels, first of all, they got to work through your own brain. It's a rare case when somebody gets to see one and hear one outside of oneself. You know, they work through our own mind. So when you get those little urges of inspiration, you just do it.
Yes. Yes.
Whether
without question, because a lot of times it doesn't always make sense. I know that my head sometimes seems to make a lot more sense than the guidance I get. But when I go with the guidance, it's always right.
Yeah. And I need to qualify that. The loving urges you get.
Yeah.
No, that's not it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there have been times, for example, when I'm years ago, I was on the freeway and all of a sudden I had the urge to get off and exit early, which seemed ridiculous. But I'd been praying for some money and, you know, and always praying to help people. And well, I got off at an earlier exit because I just had the urge, and there's a lady who had run out of gas. So I just went and got her, you know, a tank of gas. And she insisted on paying me more. And I'm arguing with her. No, you know, I'm young. No, you can't give me any money. And she's like, you have no idea I've got money, honey, but I was stranded. I, you know, before cell phones, this was before cell phones. So then I realized, oh, duh, you know, she was praying for help. I was praying for a little extra money and to help people. Bada boom, bada bing, you know, there it was, just because I had the urge to get off and exit early.
Yeah.
Now,
your nature was to push it away.
Mm-hmm. Initially.
Yeah. That I think is so common for so many people is, no. I'm praying, please bring me this. And it comes and you're like, no.
But, you know, what can we do about racism? Okay, first of all, I think there's such a sense of urgency now, which I think is appropriate. that people are looking sometimes a little too much at the big picture. You know, how can I solve racism? You can't.
Stay
here. Better ask, how can I do my part in the solution to this? What is my role today? What is my role in this moment, God? You know, because, you know, when you say, what am I going to do? You're not going to get some giant project, usually. Right. Some people are. You're going to get today's job. Today's job might be go grocery shopping half an hour earlier and smile at somebody. Mm-hmm. You never know. Now, that seems like, what's that going to do? Well, maybe that person, you know, really was in a foul mood and they were going to go take it out on their family. And maybe their family member's working in an institution that helps solve racism. You see the chain of events. You know, right. You just never know where you fit in that chain of goodness. Mm-hmm. But if you honor it, you can trust that the Creator does know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that point, Anne, because I think what we often do is we minimize our role because we don't know, you know, like there is not a simple answer to this. There are people, and I've said this a lot, there are brilliant people out there that have been working to find solutions for this for decades. So there isn't a simple solution, but there are solutions. And as long as we're a part of the solution team, then if your role is to smile, or your role is to write your congressman, or your role is to be kind, or your role is to share, you know, your food or help somebody, then that matters.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's people in public, you know, like the mayor of D.C. who just painted, my parents live near D.C., you know, the beautiful Black Lives Matter, you know. So she was one woman and she had one idea, but also someone had to hold the paint can and show up for work that day.
Yep.
And we're not going to know that person's name.
Right.
But they were equally important because their little strip of paint, I'm assuming there were a lot of people painting, mm-hmm. It's seen from space.
Yeah.
And somebody stocked the grocery store and grew the food that paid, you know, that fed the painter. So he had enough energy to go to work. So, you know, it's, I think, absurd for us to say, I have to be the one, you know, who's necessarily getting all the recognition for it, because this is where we're moving, fifth dimensional reality, where we're all in this, we are in it together. And it's time that we realize that there is no role too large or too small. It's what the divine guides you to, and you will know it because it'll simply be in your heart. It'll be what you feel like doing in the loving thing you feel like doing in that instant.
Yeah. And it won't always make sense. It doesn't always make sense, but exactly what Anne just said is, you know, that we need each other. We're dependent on each other. I a lot of times I have people that will say, well, I've always had to do it myself. And the reality of it is there's not really many of us on this planet that actually do it ourselves, because most of us don't grow our own food completely. We don't build our own vehicles to get somewhere. We don't, you know, we depend on the farmers. We depend on the stores. We depend on the mechanics. We depend on the people who build the vehicles. We depend on the people who build the houses. We depend on the electricity. Like, we are so interconnected.
You
that
can't escape it. Yeah.
It's how it's supposed, and it's how we're meant to be. We're meant to be that way.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so the mayor of D.C. gets a lot of attention, and rightly so, because she's doing something that makes a beautiful point. But she drinks her cup of coffee, mm-hmm. or whatever she drinks, and how many thousands of people went into that cup of coffee?
Yeah.
To give her some energy to do what she does. You know, and again, these are all silly examples, but all I'm saying is that some of you will be guided to be in the front lines, so-called, the protests, the activism, the politics. Mm-hmm. Some of you will be the support system for them.
Right.
Some of us will be the spiritual support system. Some will be the logistical. Some will be the food. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody plays a role, and that's why it's so important to play your role rather than a should role. Because, you know, for example, say you're one of these people that wants to protest. You please do it with love. Say you're a person that doesn't want to do it, but you feel like you should. But maybe your role would have been waiting at home to help somebody else who needed a ride somewhere. Who, you know, you just don't know. So you listen to this, the heart.
And it's always going to come back to here.
Always.
Always. And our angels are always going to guide us to this. Always. It never happens another way in my experience. They don't say, listen here, because this is where the guidance is. This is what's connecting you to your soul's journey.
Absolutely. And everyone's needed. And you know, I have, I've got some clients that are very young and, you know, they're not inclined to protest, some of them, and some are obviously, you know, so again, this isn't about right, wrong, mm-hmm. but they're like, well, what can I possibly do? You know, I'm on minimum wage and I'm in a one bedroom apartment and, you know, I love my friends, but what can I do? And the angels are like, love your friends, you know, be the generation that just doesn't buy into that vibration.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, yep. Whatever's in your heart, you do it. And so I think it's really important that we all start to accept that interconnectedness that you're talking about, mm-hmm. because it's true whether we want to admit it or not. And it's horribly offensive to a lot of egos who want to be the one doing the big thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the old saying, I forget what culture says this, but, you know, the top of the table is what we see, but the legs hold it up.
Yeah.
And the floor holds up the legs, and somebody poured the concrete and somebody dug the foundation. So, you know, I it's the chicken and the egg. How far back do you want to go? Well, you know, eventually you get to God, who's authoring all of this.
Right. Right.
If you go back far enough into how come, you know, somebody's standing out in public and doing, you know, something majestic, you know, out in public, like Martin Luther King.
Right.
How many people quietly held up his life, inspired mm-hmm. him, who inspired them? You know, we can go back to the dawn of time. It all goes back to God.
Yeah. And all of those roles have been important. The person that's the spokesperson that's out there in the front.
Yeah.
We need somebody to be out in the front. We can't have 7 billion people being out in front. It doesn't work that way. We wouldn't get the message. We get lost. But when we have one and we've got a lot of people behind that person, well, then they've got the extra support and the energy and all that is needed to be able to carry the message, the healing, the work forward.
And I think one of the things that the virus did for all of us is made us appreciate the people that have really not been appreciated. You know, the grocery store workers, the nurses, the doctors, you know, the sanitation people. I think that part of what led to this racial awakening is that COVID kind of primed us in a way. You know, it made us look at the fact that we can't operate without one another.
Yeah.
And I think it put out the angel said something like this in my newsletter coming out, that, it put out a collective cry to humanity. You know, we want more unity. We want more connection. Mm-hmm. And part of the law of attraction says when enough hearts want the same thing, you're going to start seeing that movement in the human race. So during COVID, everybody says, I want greater connection. I was actually more isolated before, mm-hmm. you know, like spiritually isolated.
Yeah.
And that call for greater connection, I believe, started this movement, you know, that created this awareness all of the sudden that if we're going to connect, we have to connect with everyone equally. No more racism. You know, so it's just, it's beautiful. You know, to me, the attention on racism now is definitely absolutely needed, because if we're all in it together, that means all. Mm-hmm. And one of the most neglected groups has been the Black people. And I think it's so important that we, you know, in a sense, fix the gaping wound, like you said, the broken child, the broken arm, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, we fix the most immediate problem. But envisioning beyond that, my hope is that we start to see and appreciate everyone as part of the whole.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And my guidance said the same thing, that the pandemic helped us to appreciate the essentials, that without those essentials, we wouldn't have survived.
Yep.
And it wasn't the, you know, the Wall Street people that were the ones that were holding things together. It wasn't the politicians that kept not that everybody didn't have a role again, but that's not who kept us fed and kept us healthy. And so I think that the big scheme of things is that, again, every role counts.
And if we're going to solve racism or any problem in humanity, but right now it better be racism. You know, you go into your heart in the morning and you say, God, guide me today to play my role today. This is what I need help with angels in my personal life today. Mm-hmm. This is what our prayers are for the world. Okay. And then like a balloon, you let it go, like you said, and allow. Yeah. You absolutely spelled it out for people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we have to give up our ego's need to feel that we're more special than someone else. Mm-hmm. Because everybody fits.
Yeah, they're all part of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And it'd be a damn boring puzzle if it was all the same thing. Boring.
Exactly.
All right, Anne, I have a couple of just fun, playful questions to ask you to just kind of get to see the other side of you, the personality okay. side. Okay?
Yep.
How do you define success?
Happiness.
Look at that. Boom.
Well, I've been asked that a lot, but I mean, really, and I can tell you that because I quit engineering where I would have been making a lot more money to stand in public and get half loved and half crucified. But great. I could have been an anonymous engineer making the big bucks.
Right. Half loved and half crucified. I love that.
That's true when you stand in public in any way. But you know what? When I'm happy, that's when I feel successful.
Yes. Yeah.
Why do we want anything in life? You know, this is what cracks me up. People want to be successful so they kill themselves.
But why?
Why do you want money? Oh, you know, it's the old story that you've heard the story of the fishing boat. Have you heard that one?
Uh-uh.
Well, I'll make it quick.
Yeah, do it.
You know, there's a fisherman. I forget what they put him in different countries. Anyhow, it's just a story. But there's a fisherman and he has this little fishing boat. He goes, catches his fish. He sells half. He feeds his family with the other half. You know, he spends evenings with his family and his friends in the village. And then he goes to bed and he gets up and he does it again. And big fishing company comes in and says, well, why don't you buy one of our bigger boats? Because then you could catch more fish. And the guy says, why? And they say, because then you could have this huge business and you could sell lots of fish and you could, you know, strike a deal with a canning company. And the guy goes, why? And they said, because then you could earn lots of money and blah, blah, blah. And he says, why? And they said, so eventually you could go on vacation more and spend time with your family.
Okay.
You know, years ago, I read a book called Your Money or Your Life. Mm. And it was one of those that really makes an impact because it was about where's that break-even point between, wow. you know, enough to be happy. Mm-hmm. And what is happiness really? In my heart, happiness means that I'm doing what I love and helping people because that's just me.
Right, right.
And I know you're like that too.
And that's a really important, I mean, that's a question for entrepreneurs that we really have to stay mindful of is what does that mean for us and what does it look like? So you don't just sell your soul for the buck that you can't get away from work because you can't enjoy it because yeah. and then the cycle continues.
I was very successful in engineering. You know, I was working 90-hour weeks, getting stock options, la la.
Mm-hmm.
Managing 100 engineers, very, very successful and miserable.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it's not worth it.
Yeah. All right. In a word or two, what is your greatest quality?
I would say perseverance. I don't think I'm the smartest. I don't think I'm the most psychic. I don't think I'm the most anything. I think I just don't quit. You know, if I want to achieve something, I just keep at it. You know, there have been things I've learned that were hard to learn,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this lifetime. And, you know, if you really want to do something badly enough, you find a way. So I think perseverance is, you know, AKA stubbornness, but you know, it's useful.
I like determined myself. That's the word I've always used. I'm determined.
Mm-hmm. You know, the angels once said the light workers have got to be determined, perseverant, stubborn, whatever you want to call it. You know, there's got to be a strength of will.
Yeah.
To push forward through our own egos, through our own inner junk, you know, because we're growing. You know, we're trying to teach people while we're growing.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge. But, you know, you got to have that determination to keep going forward and to realize that life is a journey and it's not about being perfect in front of anyone. God knows my crowd knows I am so not perfect.
Yeah, mine too. Here we are.
But, you know, that's thank God the example I think people want now is how do I be human?
Yes. Yeah. How do I be human and be it from a place of love?
Yeah,
exactly. Because we have examples of being a human from a place of not love. And so the more examples and all of you can be an example as well. It doesn't take somebody that has, you know, a community in order to do that. Showing your children that or showing your friends mm-hmm. that or your family that or being that just for yourself without any witness matters. That's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your sister. Yeah.
Okay. So what is your greatest challenge? In a word,
dealing with linear time. Because I just always have a million things I want to do all at once. You know, I'm on top of being Aries. I was born like barely between Pisces and Aries. So I always want to stay at home and go out, clean house, have a mess. You know,
yeah, me too.
You know, and then I'm sure just like you, I've got 1,000 projects I want to do. Plus, I want to float in my pool and go hiking and do crafts. And, you know, it just the list of things that I'd love to pack into a day is insane. And I really had to make peace with linear time and say, what's in me now? That has been my greatest challenge, because to this day, it's like, oh my God, there's so much I want to do.
Yeah, that's so fun. I say that all the time. My greatest challenge is time. Because my team calls me fire pants, because I just always want to go. But I do. I love that because I have the other side of me that wants to go and sit in the pool or go all those things too.
I mean, I have to schedule time to be. That's part of my schedule, you know, because I want my silence with spirit, and I want my time, you know, to recalibrate and think.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. All right. What is one item that you have in your house that you use daily that you absolutely love? Like, what's your favorite thing that you use on a day-to-day basis?
Okay. This is going to be so silly, but my coffee cups.
That's funny. That was my answer.
My little Tinker tea mugs. I mean, I've got several, but you know, they hold love. They hydrate me. I mean, I've got a million things I use daily, but that's what came to my head first, believe it or not.
Yeah, that was my answer too. We for sure have too much in common.
That's funny.
Okay, last question, my friend. Do you have a goal? I know linear time is a hard thing, but do you have a goal or like a bucket list? Is there something that you really want to see or do or some kind of experience in the next 5 years or something?
Oh my God, so many things. My current goal is more of an inner goal. Mm-hmm. You know, in deep meditation, I'm craving that now. And the funny part is, you're going to laugh at me. I've talked to angels for 25 years and never meditated regularly. But this year, probably because of the outer state, mm-hmm. oh my God, I'm finding these beautiful spaces and deep presence. And I just want to go deeper, deeper, deeper right now. And and also to allow more of that love to channel through me is always a big goal. I don't really have any goals as to where I want to go on earth, because I kind of winged that one. Mm-hmm. You know, when it hits me,
that's good since we're not going anywhere.
Well, not now, yeah.
That's good timing.
Yeah. I do have some books in the back of my head that I'd like to get to, but this is a higher priority at the moment. I am learning video editing more because I want to do more with that. And I, you know, that tweaks my little engineering creative side. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I would say right now my big focus is really on going inward and really reaching, you know, deeper spaces inside of myself. And it's kind of funny for an Aries to say that, because my whole life it's been outer goals. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to talk to angels. You know, that other stuff just, I did it. But lately I've just got this craving.
Yeah. Very cool.
I think it's because when I get into those inner spaces, you know, that's where we're one with the world. That's where I can do the most good right now for me, not for anyone else. I'm not talking about anyone else's role, but that's my calling right now, is to go on those planes where I become not Ann. You know, I joke with people, it's not I Ann anymore, it's I am. Mm-hmm. But because Ann is willing it, I am can work through her to spread light into the collective, you know, so that I can't meditate enough these days. And that's hilarious to me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, because we all benefit from it. So that's wonderful.
You know, thank you for everything you do, because I know you do it too. I know you, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot that you and I do that goes on in public, but there's a whole lot too that goes on in the inner realms.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So tell those that might be new to you, Ann, I know you're doing a lot with the gazing. Like, what's something that you would want to share about your work that maybe people don't know, or maybe, I don't know if you do that every week or how that.
Once a month. And it's basically, for people who don't know, I just, I surrender in like a silent trance with my eyes open on Facebook Live. And during those few minutes when people look into, you know, the energy that's coming through my eyes, some have had, to my total shock, physical healings. Mm-hmm. Some feel just peace. Some feel like they get clarity in their life problems. So I try to do it once a month, usually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you, I've got my newsletters and I've got classes and all that good stuff. But it's like you. It all centers around love, helping people find greater love, greater connection to spirit.
Yeah.
Greater connection, really, ultimately, to their own spirit. Because that's, you know, like you just said earlier, that's what the angels are all about. Back to this.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, you guys need to check out her information, because, number one, your newsletters – I still get them, and you started them September of 2001, right after the World Trade Center, right? Isn't that correct?
That's true. That, you know, that was before Constant Contact or anything.
That was back in the day.
Yeah, that was barely a thing. I had to cut and paste people's emails into it, and I had a little block about that big on this one website that I had to cut and paste text into. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and you know, and by the way, if my crowd is watching this on my page, please go check out SunnyDawnJohnston.com because this woman is like 10 people in one body. I don't know how you do everything. No, seriously. I mean, she puts out the most amazing, relevant. I love, you know, I don't get to read all yours either, but when I do, it's always so beautiful. It's so heartfelt. It's so real.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to start creating this podcast, honestly, is because I felt like we as teachers and guides and learners as well, but as colleagues, that our communities need to see that we actually come together. Like we, Anne and I, have supported each other for years and years and years on whatever our work is. If Anne can't fit somebody in, she lets me know, sends people to me. I've sent people to her. I tell people about her website, about her events in Sedona that she does twice a year. Well, I did back when we could do events. but the part of the value of, I hope, part of my intention anyway in creating this was for people to see that we are meant to come together and we're meant to work together. And it doesn't have to be competition. I don't even believe in competition.
I don't either. That's nonsense. I mean, vibration, God bless, you know,
yeah.
If everybody was just doing what they were guided to do, everybody would have more than enough business. And people say, well, that's not true. But I'm like, wait, give it time. Just keep the vision.
Yes.
You know, don't get in the way of God, please, with doubt and all of that junk, you know, just trust yourself. You know, I'm sure you went through this. When I started being an angel communicator, it was not an overnight success.
No.
I mean, it was $6 a week in the bookstore if I was lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I did events that it cost more for me to put on the event than I made the money.
Absolutely. Out, you know? Yeah. So, you know, that's where that determination comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's time. It's time for all of us to know that we're meant to work together and there is plenty for everyone. And if we all listened to our hearts and stayed in alignment with who we are, that we would come in contact with these amazing souls. And part of, I know, my work is to shine a light in the world, to just be a light. Mm-hmm. And
right.
And there's so many people that are doing that. And we don't all recognize that at times. And I think a lot of times, the thing that is seen is this competitiveness. And I want to change that narrative because it's bullshit. It's just
God
bullshit.
Bless you. Yeah. And that's one of the, I mean, there have been times when I cried with gratitude for you because there are a lot of people out there in ego competing and such. And, you know, that have not been so nice sometimes. And anyhow, and you know, every time Sunny and I have interacted, it's been nothing but a recognition that we're two hands on the same body.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that we have a common goal to bring love to this world, and that it would be ridiculous to be unloving while trying to do that. You know?
Right. Or to feel like we need to defend or take away from, like the only thing I can think of is to add to. And
yeah.
And you've done such a beautiful job of that and been a way shower for so many people, Anne. So thank you very much.
You know, I can't say enough good about you to everybody else. And I just hope the takeaway from this is people understand that we are in it together.
Mm-hmm.
And you already know Black Lives Matter and better know it by now, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we help? You go in your heart, you pray, you ask God, and you trust that when you get that inspired moment where you feel like doing something and it feels loving to you or it feels inspiring or it feels good, you just do it. And you trust that no matter whether it seems big or small,
mm-hmm.
that this, you know, the organizer of universes knows your part.
Yes. Yes. And that you'll receive and the organizer of the universe knows your part and you know it because of that, because you are connected to that.
Yes.
So
you
will get that.
Yep.
So thank you so much, sister. Tell everybody how they can get your newsletter and find out about your all the great stuff that you're doing.
My website is visionsofheaven.com.
Visionsofheaven.com. So go check all of her And greatness
Sunny
house.
Is sunnydonjohnston.com. We gotta make sure everybody knows everybody, right?
Yes. Thank you so much, my friends. I hope all of you enjoyed watching this. I know that you love Anne's energy because I do. And so I just know you do. If you have enjoyed this, absolutely share this. You can tag your friends. If you know somebody that might get some value from the conversation that we just had, absolutely, please share it. And in a few days, it'll be up on iTunes or your whatever podcast program you have, what other kind of phone you have, so you can grab it there as well. Thank you so much. Thank you, Anne. I love you, dear.
Thank you. God bless everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend.